I want to preach something today, a simple thought of how plans can ruin your progress. How plans can ruin your progress. But in James chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse number 13. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Word of God says this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that vanisheth, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, in verse number 13, we have an admonition or challenge. He said, go to ye that say. He's talking about saying something that you are planning to do, whether today or tomorrow. And he's talking about making plans, you know. And you know, I would think there's nothing wrong with plans, or in some situations that might be true, as long as you can say, you know, it's by the will of the Lord. But I was amazed, sometimes just some things make me curious, and I was curious if the word plan was even in the Bible, and it's not. I couldn't find plan or plans or even the word planned, you know. But our life is, we always told a plan. One of the things I even tell my children, a statement I learned in the military, prior planning prevents poor performance, you know. And you might, there's a lot of things you could say along with that, but we're going to see a truth here that I really think if you'll catch it and don't just lose me and say, well, he said I don't make any plans, you know. I've been preaching meetings before. Somebody will get tripped up on the saying, and the way the whole service you get over to come say, you know, I didn't the thing you said about that, you know, and miss everything that God was trying to help them with because they were hung up on the little statement. So don't worry so much about the title, but just let God hopefully give you some direction that I believe will help you to avoid, so you like your progress. Anybody want to abound in the work of the Lord? Anybody at all? I mean, you're not afraid to admit it? Amen. All right. So this is something I believe will help us all to abound in the work of the Lord. So Father, we pray that exactly that will take place because of preaching, that everyone that desires to will abound in the work of the Lord. And Father, I would even go a step further. I pray even for those that don't have that desire, that they would come to know you, and that would become their desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. Now, if you look at this passage here, you're taking notes. First thing I'd like you to take to catch your attention is, number one, there are two types of plans. There are two types of plans. In verse number 13, we see there are two types of plans. The first type of plan is for plans for today. And the second type of plan you see right here for tomorrow. You know, I know for years I thought about, you know, I preached a message. One of the most dangerous words in the Christian life is tomorrow. But you know, I recognize that today can be just as dangerous. Because even for me to say I'm going to do something today, that really has no concrete determining point with that. There's really no commitment that completely. Now, it is today, there's some type of commitment. But in a moment, I hope you see why later that even that is not a powerful commitment. Because if I say today, that still allows me some time to be in limbo. If I say tomorrow, of course, it allows me more time to be in limbo. And to be idle and not to do what I want to do. And even today, say I'm going to do something today, allows time for what the Spirit of God spoke to me about to cool off. Hey, you ever heard preaching? You ever read your Bible? And you feel like God wants you to do something? And you say, I'm going to do it today, and guess what? You never did it. God deals you about something, and you sense that you need to repent even. And you don't do it. Because you think today instead of obey. Now, Ezekiel 16 says something about I hold your place for me back here a moment. It's just a good passage here. Really, has a lot of every book of the Bible is good. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, in verse number 49, I want you to see the danger of those type of plants. For even today, which one of the Bible says today, if you hear His voice. Now, that means today, but what the moment is, hear it. You know, don't, when you hear it, harden your heart. He said, don't harden your heart. Now, Ezekiel 16, in verse 49, the Bible said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, he talks about the things that destroyed Sodom. They caused Sodom to fall into sodomy and all types of perversion. Now, this one, number one was pride, fullness of bread. And notice the third thing here. An idleness. Now, abundance of idleness was in her. And idleness is when you have that today. And idleness is when you have that tomorrow. One of the things that destroy or allow or hinder many lives from progressing forward is a word that we call procrastination. And basically, when something needs to be done right now, we think we can do it later. Instead of doing it now, we say, I'm going to do it today because it's time. I thought, you know what, I really need to take care of this. And I'm going to do it today. And guess what never gets done? This time my wife has asked me to do something. And instead of saying tomorrow, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to do it today. And if I just stop what I was doing and take care of it right then, it'd have been over with. But because I didn't do it right then, all of a sudden, I got busy. And what I really intended to do, the day was over. And I woke up next morning. Oh, I never did what I said I was going to do today. Hey, if you have children, you ever ask them to do something, you know, you're not satisfied, they say, and once you find they didn't do it, they say, well, I was going to do it. No, you wanted to do it right then, we asked them to do it. And same thing with our Heavenly Father. And not because, as parents do, sometimes we have selfish desires when we ask our children to do things, but God has our best interest in mind and His glory in mind. When He asks us to do something, He wants us to do it right then. Now, that's the two types of plans. Today or tomorrow. If someone has offended you, would you like them to remove the offense today, or would you like them to remove it right now? If someone has stolen your money, would you like them to return it to you today, or would you like them to return it to you right now? If someone stole your car, and so, you know, hey, I've got your car, and really, I know I took it without your permission, but I'm going to bring it back, but I'm just going to run a few errands, but I give you my assurance I will bring it back today. That wouldn't come to you very much, would it? No, you'd want it back right then, you know. Anything that's yours, it belongs to you. And by the way, our lives belong to God. And whatever God asks to do with our life, He would like us to do it at the moment He asks us to do it. Now, that's the two types of plans, today and tomorrow. Number two, the nature of plans. Plans in the passage here have a couple different types of nature we can see from the Scriptures. Now, read verse 13 again. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue. Well, plans, first of all, they're plans to continue. You're saying today, or you're saying tomorrow, you're going to continue. I like this definition, continue. It means to remain in a state. It means to abide in any time, indefinitely. It means to last. Anybody plan to be, would you like to be faithful today? I mean, faithful to God? I mean, you were faithful to attend, but we need to be faithful to God. You know, we can be faithful to attend and not be faithful to God. It means to be durable. It also means to endure. It means to be permanent. So he said, caution here, ye that plan to today to continue there a year. You know, because that's the nature of the way we do things. You know, and you ever read the Bible and God speaks to you about some area of unfaithfulness? And you say, I'm going to get that settled. I'm no longer going to be like that. Well, the key is you got to repent right then. And you got to walk in that obedience to the Lord. But you know, the thing that is, don't even worry about even further, but just right that moment, respond and do what God would have you to do. Many people are hindered from doing the will of God. Because there's something, they say, well, Lord, you can have all of me, but I just got to get this one thing out of the way first. Even if it was just today, this afternoon. So their plan is to continue. Number two, their plan is to get gain. We see here that you, in the plans, continue their year, buy and sell and get gain. Of course, we know gain means to obtain. It also means to receive. This is going to gain favor. Anybody plan to gain favor with God? Wouldn't you like to live a life with be more favorable in God's eyes? It means to gain reputation. Wouldn't you like God to know you have you in reputation? That where I read the Bible, not to be, I wouldn't want to be known of men, but I like God to have high esteem of me. I mean, I have high esteem of Him just singing the song, "How Great Thou Art." Hope you caught the glory. And I think I can tell by the spirit of the song that some of you esteemed God as you were singing the words. And you thought about His greatness. And you thought about how great it really was. And it meant something to you as you sang those words, "How Great Thou Art." And we plan to gain a reputation before God sometimes. But that's the nature of things that we do. Now, these are not bad goals. It's not bad to want to abide and be faithful to God. It's not bad to want to be durable. Hey, the Bible says, endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's good, to be endure hardness. And we would want to obtain what? The grace of God, because He gives more grace. We want to obtain more of the Spirit of God, be filled with the Spirit. Anything that God wants us to have, we want to acquire. It's not wrong with that in the nature, but that's the nature of the way we plan things. We think, well, today, I'm going to make a decision. Help me to remain in the state, to be faithful to God. Or tomorrow, I'm going to do something. Allow me to continue, and my life can gain the things that God wants to have. Now, number three, if you take it, notice the weakness of our plans. Number three, the weakness of our plans. In verse number 13, notice what the Bible says here. First of all, number one, first weakness, he said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So number one, we cannot control today or tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. We don't have any idea, so we can't make plans for tomorrow. That really is the week, and honestly, we can't make plans for today. You may leave here today and have great plans. You may trip on that top step and fall and break your neck. I hope you don't. But you can't control even the rest of this day. And so, planning even for the day can ruin your progress. There again, that's what I said, can. I didn't say every plan is bad. But many times our plans hinder us. Because it's a procrastinating type thing. It's an idle thing. Number two, under the weakness of our plans, our life is shorter than we think. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. I was talking to a man this morning, a cute little girl, probably about Morgan's age, maybe just a little bit older. And I said, enjoy the moment while it lasts. I said, my oldest daughter is 21 now. And I said, and we have a great time that she's 21, but it seemed like it was just yesterday that she was my little football in my hand, you know. And our life is shorter than we think, you know. And, you know, you're planning just to do something for God in a later date, or just do anything you want, your time is going to go off quicker than that. I mean, because none of us here really know our appointments. We all plan to live a long, healthy life, I think. Anybody planning to die in their early 40s, you know? I hope I'm not. I'm already there. Sorry. Oh, man, I'll be older this year. But we make plans. Our life is shorter than we think. You know, nobody plans to die at an early age, but it goes by so fast. And sometimes you're planning to do something of significance hinders you from actually doing something of significance. If you just do instead of plan. Number three, God's will is the only plan of security. Because He says, for you ought to say, if the Lord will. You know, if we said that, there's a lot of plans we'd never make, wouldn't it? If we really said, if the Lord's will. You know, to say that, you know, now we say Lord willing. And you know what we really say, you know what we really mean anytime we say Lord willing? What we're really saying, and catch this, we're really saying, if God doesn't stop me, and if God allows me, willing. That's what we're really saying. Because we say, well, Lord willing, you know, I'm going to do this. And it's not really, we're not really saying that I'm only going to do this if it's the will of God. If this is the Lord's will, I'll do it. But what we're saying is, if God does not hinder me, or God does not stop me, then I will do it. That's what we mean most of the time we say, Lord willing. Instead of saying, you know what? Lord willing. And then think, you know. Actually, well, Lord willing, I'll steal a car this afternoon. Now, God might not hinder me. And God might not stop me. I might not even get caught. But would that be the Lord's will? Just because He allowed it to take place? And we may plan sometimes, and we say, Lord willing, and we've not qualified it with the Scriptures. We've not qualified it with the plan of God for our lives. We've not qualified it with even what God would have us to do, but we think, well, since the door's open, hey, it was God's fault. He left the keys in the car anyway. Hey, wasn't that a sign from God? He left the keys in the car? Hey, and it was full of gas. I mean, God wouldn't want me to steal a car that had an empty tank of gas, would He? Hey, it was a brand new car. Aren't God's people supposed to have the best of everything? So He even gave me a good car to steal. Amen. Now, I'm being totally ridiculous. But you know what? Some of the things that we do, and we say, Lord willing, even, have absolutely nothing to do with God's will for our life. Now, it may not be gross sin. It may not even be what we consider idolatry. But we know that we don't have any concept of what we're planning to do is God's will enough. We just know, well, hope it works out. But God's will is the only plan of security. Number three, or letter D here. I'll put a D here. You can put whatever you want to put down here, but it doesn't really matter. As long as Holy Spirit gets what you want to get up here. Our plans, it says here, these type of plans, they are prideful and evil. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. And you're happy about what you're planning to do. Now, don't miss what I'm saying. Now, some of you think, well, is it wrong to plan for anything? No, absolutely. I don't think it is. That's why I said how your plans can ruin your progress. Not every plan is a bad plan. But there are plans that we make that do ruin our progress. Now, and you rejoice in your boastings that you're going to do something today. And I rejoice in my boasting that I'm going to do something today. And I rejoice about something I'm going to do tomorrow. And I say, Lord willing, and even if God, and maybe if God doesn't stop me or hinder me, you know, this is God's will, you know. But God said that would be, that number one is prideful, because boasting is arrogancy. And then He says, it's also evil. That's what makes our plans weak. Because why? Because pride goes before what? Destruction. And so we don't want to boast of plans. Certainly because, why? Because number one, God, right here God says not to. He says, go to ye this day, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. Now, if you think about this, now, look at verse 13 again. Did He say anything wicked? Is anything wicked in verse 13 you can see? Is there anything wicked about what verse 13 says? I mean, buying and selling. I mean, that's natural things of life, isn't it? But God says, just be careful. He says, He's just giving us a warning here. He's not saying everything we do, every plan is an evil plan. I'm not saying it either. But He says, but go to you to say today or tomorrow. He says, because simple things, remember Jesus said how a little leaven leavened the whole lump? It's a little thing, little foxes spoil the vine, the Bible says. The last thing, and we'll be done in a few moments. Verse 17, last thing, number four, about the plans, those last thing looking for the weakness of our plans, saying what you are planning to do is not doing what you should do. Saying what you are planning to do is not doing what you should do. That's really the main idea of everything we're talking about here. It says in verse 13, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, because when we make plans to do what we just need to stop and do, we've allowed idle time to quench the Spirit of God, and we never get to the place where God would have us to get to. Seen it happen in my own life, seen it happen in the life of the vendors and the lives of other people. When we simply need, when we know to do good, We need to do it. I remember learning this verse as a young Christian. This verse frightened me to death. And I thought, man, it's no good. And to do it not, that's sin. I think when the men taught it, we used to have a men's prayer breakfast every Sunday morning at 6:30 in the morning before church. And I tell you, that was one of the strengths of that church. That men would get up and meet with God and pray. And I tell you, some of the greatest times I've ever had in my life was that some of the greatest friendships and fellowships just by men coming together and pray and meet with the Lord. I can't remember talking, but he taught that verse in devotion. And I was listening to that verse, and I thought to myself, could that really mean what it says? Because there's things I know to do, but I said, well, I don't have the faith to do it. That's not what it says. It doesn't say you don't have the faith. It doesn't give you an escape clause, does it? But it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and do it not to him to sin. And so, what he says all these things about plans, not to try to get you to stop making plans. But he says all these things just so you get to the place that when God speaks to you, do it. Do it. When you hear God's word, do it. Obey the Lord. Trust Him in any situation. Notice, I'll turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'll give you an example of where God speaks to you. Back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Notice the Bible says here. Now Jesus is going to give some instructions that will put a person's life into a position of blessing. In verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11, he says, first of all, come unto me. Now, when would you think he would want the person to do that? Pardon? Now, right. Not today. He would want it right now. If I said, come, if I asked one of you to come right now, you'd think, well, I'll get there today, Pastor. I mean, I wouldn't care if he did, because I'm not your boss and I don't control anybody, but you would understand that I meant right now. And now again, these instructions are to help somebody fight here. He says, come unto me. Come unto the Lord. He said, so you would come now. And he said, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he gives another instruction, verse 29. He says, Take my yoke upon you. Well, when do you think God will want you to take the yoke upon you? Anybody else? When? Anybody where? You can say it out loud. Say it out loud so I know you hear it. Now, okay, amen. Amen. Thank you very much for humoring me. Take my yoke upon you. And then he says something else. And then he says, learn. Learn of me. When would he want us to learn of him? Now. Not today. That means you have to do something right now. I mean, that's to do that. You come, you take, and you learn. And through that, obedience unto the Lord, you'll find out your trigger. He's meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. Because you know why? God wants you to have rest right now. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Any given service, if we all knew each other's lives, some of you would be shocked if you knew every person in this room, the burdens they brought into this room right now. The things they thought about. I mean, I guess even within this room, you'd be surprised. There's probably somebody in this room this week that thought about suicide. And it's probably something you never even think about. You'd be amazed. But I've dealt with people for years, and the people that kill themselves are the ones you just never think. You'd be amazed at the burdens that people have in this room. There are things that people thought about sin they never thought they would do, and they crossed their mind this week, and they thought, man, there's burdens that people bear, and you think, whoa, if you really knew. And so God says, now. He says, come. He'd like you to come right now. He said, don't plan for today, because, again, you can walk out of that room and something will catch your attention, and next you know, and you'll be on a slippery slope, and you'll be downtrodden before you know it. So he says, beware your plans for today. Beware your plans for tomorrow. Beware. If you know good, do good. Because that's the only thing that allows your life to progress. A plan has no guarantee of moving you forward. So saying what we should do. That's why I said one of the things the Lord really can be convicting me about. I mean, it's great to know how to define the right type of Christian, but I need to be the right type of Christian. It's great to be able to define what's wrong with Christianity, but am I willing to be the example of what a Christian should be? So I can say what I need to be, but I need to do what I need to be, or my life never progresses. I can say I need to pray. I can say that I'm weak, but then I need to be strong, because the Bible says to be strong in the Lord, right? If you're weak, then be strong. God tells you to, right? I mean, not we just say, well, I'm weak and I know I need to get stronger. No, He says be strong in the Lord. That means you can do it. In the Lord you can. You can't in yourself, because you can't control tomorrow or today, but you need to do it. Be strong. It's like David. He encouraged himself what? In the Lord. He did it. He chose to be strong. Hey, they were talking about stoning him. But he's having a pretty rough day. But here he is. I mean, you think about it. Maybe God rescues the kingdom. I mean, all these people are afraid and of Goliath, and a ruddy youth shows up, and why is everybody standing around? This man is defying the armies of the living God. This is the God that all of Israel claims to serve, and all of God's people claim to serve, and nobody's doing anything. It must be done. And he goes in the name of the Lord, and on their behalf, he slays the giant, and somebody praises him. Unfortunately, but he gets to Saul, and then Saul wants him dead. And he was the one that went to go comfort Saul with the evil spirit that God sent to trouble him for disobedience. He would play music and comfort him. Here's a person trying to comfort Saul. And of all of his love and devotion, he tried to do that which is right. And then he goes out and comes back to Keilah, the city, and all the men's wives and all the stuff is taken. And they said, this is what it's like to follow David. Something like you are. Man, we're going to kill this. Hey, that's stoning, you know. This isn't working out too good for us, you know. But David, you know, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he said, you know what? He said, Lord. He didn't say, you know what? He didn't say, today I'm going to go get my wife back. He said, Lord. And you look this up now. He said, Lord, shall we pursue? And then he found out that he would pursue. And he would recover everything. And so he did. He didn't make plans. He did. And God would say, if you came here with burdens today, He said, please don't plan to come today. Come right now. I tell you, when, you know, and that's, you know, sometimes, you know, I preach too long, I think, you know. Because sometimes you can get so many subjects, and that's why, you know, God really speaks to you just by some, you know, just get on your face before I'm done and get right with God. Because you know what can happen, that conviction will hit you. I'm around preaching a meeting one time in Texas. It really messed me up. I wasn't used to this, you know. I mean, I was preaching, and I probably was 15 minutes into the message. And the guy, the Spirit of God got on the man. He started crying. He hit the altar. In his altar, the whole time I was preaching, as we've been getting right with God. He just said, he didn't even say, I'll do it when the service is over. When the message is over. He got right there. And I remember going back to that church a few years later. That guy was one of the most faithful men in the church. He was a doer, not a planner. There again, not even to make plans. But understand what I'm saying. The main idea is the doing. Because if you serve God any time at all, you know you've been through times in your life and you've had some really good intentions to do something for God, and it never happened. And Satan will love to beat you up over that. And Satan will love to discourage you over that. And Satan wants to make you think you cannot be a faithful Christian. And God would say, come. And God would say, take. He said, I'll just plan differently this time. I'll just work. No, don't plan, because today you don't know what you have. Your life is shorter than you think. Last of all, verse we'll turn to is Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. discovered you probably on preaching. I was walking this morning, and I was walking and praying, and I kept walking, and I kept wanting to go. I was thinking I wanted to go home, spend time with my family, and see them. You know, I like to see them. I do like them, you know. So, but I said, I've got enough sins to be going home to. I'm not ready with the message, you know. And I walked, by the time I kept walking, I passed Kipling down there. I kept going and turned around, and I just had a great walk and just meet with the Lord. And really, God just said, just do. It's just the place we got me just to do. So in Acts 24 and verse number 25, notice the Bible says here, and he reasoned, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now Felix heard the preaching of Paul, and it was so convicting, he trembled. But you know what he said? I'm going to plan for Paul to come back. I'm going to make plans that when it's more convenient, I want you to come back. That's what people do all the time, you know. And that's what a lot of plans are about. They're about convenience. Serving God in a convenient season. You know, I'd love to do what God said, but if I just do, it won't happen. I'm not sure I can do that. I have friends that I went to Bible college with and never got into ministry because of their plans. They didn't just surrender all. You know, when you read this story here, you never hear about Felix having another opportunity either, because his life was probably shorter than he realized. You know, and you don't know how many times God's going to deal with you about a certain situation. Don't presume upon the Lord. We know God is merciful and He knows graceful. I'm not saying that to scare you into doing anything for God. I'm saying it because it's just reality. If you know the Bible, it's reality, isn't it? Is that not a Bible truth, that our life is a vapor? You know, we don't have any idea. Because honestly, I don't know what you need to do anyway, except but walk with God. But I know when you hear God's voice, do it. When you read the Bible, God tells you to do something, don't plan for convenience. See, don't plan even to do it this afternoon. Obey right now. If God tells you to come, you ought to come. I'm just going to come to the altar. I may come unto Him, you know. I mean, church, you go to the altar. This is symbolic, but when you come to the altar and still not be right with God, there's so many things we can do. We can fake every kind of way we want to fake it. But we ought to just come unto Him. You know, there's such a joy in serving God. And all the things that God wants you to do because He wants you to enjoy Him. And so many people just struggle. And I think it's not my life. The only times I struggle is when I don't do, when I plan. When I make plans for the ministry instead of just doing the work of the ministry, there's time I'm studying. And God said, get up and go do something. Go talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. I said, you fed enough. Go meet somebody. There's time you can do so many different things. You just have to do it. Amen. You can talk about giving, and God said, just give to somebody. You know, be a blessing to somebody. Give your time, your talents, and your treasures. Amen. Just do it. Back in our text, and we'll close with this. Just remember saying what you are planning to do is not doing what you should do. And really, the whole message would be just simply verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Would you do right now what you know is good to do? That's the invitation. Would you do right now what you know is good to do? You know, I think many more people would be in the ministry if they would just do what they need to do right now. I know, like I saw myself even in Bible college, you never got into the ministry. I remember talking to people, I feel like God's calling me to go out right now, you know, but they just wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't go. Because they made plans to go instead of just obeying the voice of the Spirit of God.
I never give my good friend, I guess I should mention his name, but I won't. So, I mean, then guy called him to preach, and then this guy was a witness, and he would just go on the streets and just talk to everybody, you know. And I tell you, he said he just felt like God wanted him to just pack his bags and just go any street corner and just go. And he never did. He's one of the most miserable men I've ever met. It's heartbreaking. And the good thing about wherever you're at today, the great thing about this room right now, your story's not over. Do whatever God wants you to do. And you know, and I say it's not about full-time ministry. It's about just obeying the Lord. Some people don't belong in full-time ministry. I remember, and honestly, that is a saying that's been coined by religion, you know. What Christian should not be full-time putting God first, really, if you think about it? And if we really got away from that saying, I think more people would be in the ministry, because some think, well, just full-time ministry. This church wants me to come preach for them in Nebraska. And the pastor, he's full-time in the ministry. But guess what? He's working a full-time job. So I guess he's really double-time in the ministry. Because he's working a full-time job, and he's full-time in the ministry. Because he's not just, I mean, I understand what we're saying about maybe time he could give. But may God help us just to do. You know, because the most powerful thing you ever, because the only way you ever progress is to do it. You know, I'm going to quit there. Lord, we thank you today. God, I just pray you break the spirit of bondage that's in this room. Break even the spirit of pride that hinders some. I think of speaking to my own pride this morning. And Father, just revealed to me the remaining pride that I do have. I'd be stupid to say that I don't have any pride left. Reveal the pride to me that hinders me from doing everything that I need to do. But Father, help me not to put off anything you've asked me to do any longer. But Father, would you let no one that knows you quench your Holy Spirit today? And Father, for those that don't know you, would they come? Would they please come? And for those that do know you, would they please come, and would they please take? And would they learn of you? Oh God, free us from religion and help us really to know you. And help us just to know you well enough that we'll truly be like you in every situation. I thank you, Father, that you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, were doers. It's funny, Lord, how when you even created the heavens and the earth, you didn't even mention any plans. You just did. So help us to